Hello again to our listeners, and Happy New Year. With over 100 views on our first two episodes, we're excited to open up the new year with episode 3, Balance as a Moral Condition.
You're the big, big boss. You tell me what to do, and I gladly do my job, but I don't like your attitude.
Hey there. Welcome back for episode 3, and Happy New Year again to our listeners. Join us as we dive into this exciting topic to start off 2017 right. If you haven't listened to us before, feel free to toggle back and listen to episodes 1 and 2 first, or you can just jump right in. A new Leadership in Tech podcast is always available on Tuesdays, just like the show notes will always be found on www.techonramp.com. Add us to your favorite feed or your favorite apps and check back every week for our newest episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter or Facebook at TechOnRamp, and you can find all the links on our website. Once again, it's www.techonramp.com.
Now tell me, who do you think you are? Besides a person who happens to be in charge.
All right, so you have a public service announcement. You're about to warn me,
right,
that we're getting into some deep waters.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about leadership, and there's a lot of things we're going to talk about over the course of all of our podcast.
I'm going to tell you some crazy stories.
It's going to be awesome, right? Because we're going to talk about experiences. We're going to talk about, you know, guidelines that we've never been given and what people did at work.
I'm going to shock you. I am going to shock and appall you with an inside look at a technology team.
Right. I mean, it's going to be amazing. And we're going to have some good laughs. But unfortunately, we start, you know, our kind of leadership training with self-assessment. And, you know, as much as we can try, self-assessment is deep. And it really, if there's something funny to say, we're not going to not say it. But when you're looking deep in your soul and your heart about who you are.
We're going into the soul.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Right? So, you know, just be ready for this self-assessment part. We'll have a couple different episodes. It is kind of meant to get you to think. Be deep, reflect on who you are and what you're about, and, you know, just be ready for it. You know, I'm not saying look, if you can lighten up, you know, how messed up we all are individually, you know, because that can be a pretty sad subject, because it is, you know, have at it. I contend, though, that you'll more just be kind of sitting there reflecting and putting it all to yourself and be like, whoa, man, I got a lot of thinking to do.
So you're saying that I'm going to be like affected by this first segment of leadership training, and I might not have much to say.
If, you know, unless you're a sociopath, like some people I've met, who none of the self-assessment has any effect on them, you know, then yeah, I think the initial self-assessment parts for you, for the listener, will be, you know, just be very reflective, you know, but we want to warn people it's not all going to be like that. You know, this is mostly going to be, you know, a lot of laughs and talking about technology and leadership. But yeah, the self-assessment part may be a little deeper. We may be, you know, diving in some deep, dark waters.
Maybe you got lucky. Maybe you worked real hard. And just maybe that doesn't make you smart.
You always start with a self-assessment. What's that about?
Yeah, so, you know, the beauty about leadership is, right, there could be 100 leadership guys listening to this, and they're not going to disagree with anything I say, right? They're not, because my philosophies are tried and true, and, you know, they work. It's just the priority that you put them, right? So somebody else who's a leadership consultant, does leadership, may not cover any of the stuff that I cover that is, you know, that I think is important. But the stuff that they cover is also going to be accurate. So it's, you know, again, so with somebody listening to this, it's not about whether you agree with it or disagree with it or think something is more important or less important. It's just something for you to think about.
You just take what you take.
Take what you take. You know, keep your mind open. So I personally, Errol Dobler, leader 193, believes that all leadership starts with a thorough self-assessment, like we talked about. If you can't lead yourself, you can't ever hope to lead anybody else, right? So we talked about that young programmer. Why do they need to listen to this? Well, because we're going to talk about self-assessment, and you need to learn to lead yourself. And that's, even if you do that, you'll be infinitely better. You know, you'll be an infinitely better human being, infinitely better programmer, and someday, if you're that, you will just automatically become a leader somewhere. So I start in the self-assessment phase. I go through the moral, the mental, the emotional, and physical aspects of self-assessment. So we're going to talk about the moral, right? And I struggled with, like, what are morals? Well, that's telling the truth, that's being honest, it's doing the right thing, right? Those are characteristics, right? So the more I looked into the moral, I was like, wow, this is really kind of a nebulous topic. You know, what does that mean? And I read something by John Wooden, and he says, quote, practice moderation and balance in all you do. And that's basically his assessment on how one attains the moral condition. And I was uninspired by that, right? So I said, I looked for more. And I, you know, then I started to dawn on me, like, well, no, he's right. He's right, because the moral condition is balance. Because if you're too focused or obsessed on one thing, right? Just think about, right, if there are any 20-year-olds out there, right? And you're chasing that girl, and you're just completely obsessed with her, and you're just going to let her know how awesome you are, and you're just on her. She's like, no, thank you.
It's too much.
Too much, man. Too much. Well, think about that, right? If you are just all on one thing, you don't have balance. There's no moderation. You haven't achieved the moral condition. So when you have balance, you can come back to something with a fresh perspective, a fresh mind. People are more inclined to be around you, right? And so then more on that balance and that moral condition is, are you able to stay in the moment? Okay, so now this is where everybody kind of really gets it. Multitasking, right? Well, I multitask, man. I can do four things at once.
I'm working on six projects right now.
That's right. All at the same time.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, while we're podcasting, right. I'm emailing someone.
That's right. That's right. And checking your text. Okay? So, there is a firearms instructor who, well, I'll just say his name, Jim Scartozzi, right? We're allowed to say names here. I don't know why I'm so nervous about that. But he is probably, in all my time in combat with the SEALs, with the FBI, with the SWAT, I've been through a million training, weapons training programs, you know, on and on and on. You know, military law enforcement, he's probably the single greatest firearms instructor I've ever had. And he says you can either do one thing really well or two things really bad. There's no such thing as multitasking. And he kind of described that in the terms of really your actions in a gunfight, something as simple as reloading your weapon after you've run out of bullets. And so all the phases of that, I won't go through it, right? But those are singular acts. You can't do two things at once. I can't be staring at my target and reloading my weapon at the same time, right? Unless I'm hoping to get lucky and get that magazine into the wall. You have to look at it. And now I might be able to do that in less than a second, but those are still distinct actions, okay? So as you're sitting here texting and checking an email and doing that, what are you really doing well right now? Okay, are you listening to me right now? Kind of. Okay, let me break it down even more. As I'm preparing my lecture at the Dobler household between 4 and 7 o'clock, right? That's family time. We pick the kids up. Okay, I've got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. We go to the family room and we put it all away and we spend family time. But right now I've got this thing I need to do. I've got this lecture I need to give. So I'm going to bring my laptop into the family room, okay? And I'm going to multitask, right? So now I'm in with my family. I'm there physically, and I'm typing away. And what's my three-year-old doing from across the room? He sees me doing something. Hey, Dad, what are you doing? Hey, Dad. And on it goes.
And you're like, shut up, kid.
Right, hey. And now he's coming over because I'm not really listening to him because I'm trying to get this done. And now he's got his face in between my face and the screen so I can't see anything. Hey, Dad, what do you got here? Come on. Hey, Henry, come on, son. Now I'm being kind of pushy. I'm getting mad at my three-year-old because he's not really getting what I want him to do because he's three. Now he starts hitting the keys, right? Now I'm getting mad. Okay, so just think about it now. What am I doing? I'm multitasking, right? No, I'm doing two things really badly. I'm not being a good father, and I'm certainly not getting any work done. So what does my wife do? She stares at me, right? The irony is thick as it can be, because I'm working literally on being in the moment. And I can do one of two things. I can close my laptop, put it away, and go back to this, or I can leave the room. And that's okay, too, and get this done. But I couldn't do two things at the same time. Well, so what's my point? As you are in life, in an area, doing something, are you focused on that to get the most out of it, right? So when you are at home and you're a young coder or an old coder, whatever you are, you're a software engineer, are you sitting at home with your family thinking about code, okay, and not really paying attention to your three-year-old or to your wife? But you're there, right? In your mind, you're there. And I'm not really talking about it, but I'm thinking about it, right? Because that's what we do. We're so important. We're so good at what we do.
Yeah, we're knowledge workers.
Yeah, I have to be thinking about it all the time. I can't help it. Great. Well, pretty soon, you're going to be doing that a whole bunch. And then pretty soon, you're not going to be so welcome in that home anymore. It's going to be a lot of tension because you don't pay attention to anybody, right? You're not in the moment. You have no balance. If you're going to be home, be home. And then when you're coding, code. And then when you're taking a break or somebody's trying to talk to you about something, they're trying to open up or be vulnerable, stop what you're doing for 2 minutes, get over yourself, be in the moment, and listen to what that person's saying. What's my point? It's the moral condition. It's balance. It's perspective. Because if you have that, you're going to be able to focus on whatever is in front of you at the same time or at one time.
It's easier said than done, right? So I'll take it back. Like when I was younger, and I was coding all the time. You know, it's almost like a zone that you're trying to achieve, mm-hmm. where you're sort of like obsessed with the problem that you're working on, and it's almost like cool, right? You're like in it, right? You're in the matrix.
That's right.
And it's hard
because you're impressing everybody too, because you're telling them how you can't stop thinking about
it. Right, I did this. My heart and I are connected.
Hey, everybody, listen to me. Right. So again. What are we doing? You know, so let me ask you this, right? So we're going to stay in the moral condition, right, of the self-assessment. So you are so focused. Right, on that. Right now, I'm sure you're really fun to be around. I'm sure everybody loves to listen to you talk about nothing but coding all day, every day. But, hey, man,
I'm a designer.
Yeah, you're just so important. So, you know, keep telling me about it because I really want to keep listening to it. But when was the last time anybody listening, right, who's going, oh, hey, man, I'm just committed, right? Okay, fine. Are you committed to being a good son? When was the last time you asked your mom, hey, Mom, how could I be a better son? That's not cool, man. I'm cooler than that. Well, you're not. Okay, because my point is, if you don't have the moral condition enough to say to the people who really matter, hey, Mom, how can I be a better son? Really, are you going to try to convince me, though, you can be totally committed to being the programmer? Yeah, I get it. You want to be a great programmer. You're into it. You love it. But I'm not down with that if I'm hiring. Because if you can't be important, if you can't have the moral condition, if you can't have the balance in your life to have the same commitment to how to be the best son, husband, wife, dad, I'm not really interested in you. That's just me. Right? Somebody might say, yeah, I want somebody who's thinking about it all the time. I'm just telling you I don't.
You're saying, I want to hire someone who can turn it off, who can shut off the laptop, who can get up, who can look you in the eye and be present and talk about the
feeling. Be present. Let me give you an example, another example. When I was at SEAL Team 1, Commander Steve Fitzgerald, he was one of the best leaders I've ever worked under in my life. And I'm in his office one time. The door is shut. We're having a conversation. Somebody knocks at the door. He's completely ignoring it. There's a knock going on. We're having a conversation. I'm completely distracted. The phone rings. He's still mid-sentence talking to me. That guy was so in the moment right there, so focused on me, okay, and what we were talking about. He was ignoring the phone, the knock at the door, and whatever else. That guy was in the moment, and he had my total commitment at that point. He had it before, but that solidified it. I was like, that guy is not too important. He doesn't think he's so important that he can't sit this 5 minutes and talk to me and put the full attention on me. Okay? He wasn't talking about how he can't think about, oh, I've got all this stuff going on. When was the last time, right, you were in the office, in your boss's office, and he's bragging about how he's got, oh, the phone's ringing, and, oh, I got this person and that person. And he's telling you how important he is, and you're like, you know what, man, I'm not even listening to this. You can't even sit here and talk to me. You've got to tell me how important you are, how you've got so many other things going on. That's not the moral condition, right? That's not somebody, that's not what a leader does. A leader's in the moment, right? A leader has balance, and that gets results, and that's a fact. Again, think about how interesting that person is that you talk to, and all they talk about is, I don't know, coding, or all they talk about is one thing. Eventually, you're like, shut up, man. Let's talk about music. Let's talk about basketball. You know, let's talk about politics. Let's talk about something else besides this. So that is the moral condition as I see it in a self-assessment. If you can't go and say to your 9-year-old daughter, how can I be a better dad? How can I be a better mom? If you don't have that in you, you're not selling me on your total commitment to coding or something else, because that's not even important, because you may not be a coder. What happens if you get into an accident, right? And all of a sudden you've got brain swelling or something, right? You know what I'm saying? No, but it's true. What's going to go away? Your coding ability or your...
Well, so that goes to the people who define themselves by their work, mm-hmm. which is huge.
And that's everything, right? And that's a question you need to ask yourself, again, within the moral condition. You know, who are you? I know at one point in my life, if you asked me, you know, over 20 years ago, hey, Errol, who are you? I'd be like, Errol Dobler, Navy SEAL, what of it? You know, but it took however long it takes to fall 30 feet from one platform to another and sustain these injuries where you get medically discharged, and it takes several years, you know, to work those recoveries so you're kind of back to normal. In a second, I wasn't Errol Dobler, Navy SEAL anymore. What was I? You know, I was something else. Now, I won't get into who I become and now what I can be and where it doesn't matter. But my question to you is, what happens if you can't be a programmer anymore for some reason, right? Who are you? And if you say I'm nobody, well, then, you know, that's a whole other set of issues. That's a whole other episode, man. So, you know, people have a hard time with that one, but everybody understands it, right? Because when was the last time? I can't remember the last time I asked my wife, how can I be a better husband? You know why? Because I know what the answer is, and I'm not going to like it.
Yeah.
Okay?
I have a few tips as well.
Exactly. Well, I've seen your home life too, so. But, so, you know, that's kind of the initial self-assessment, I think, that everybody needs to go through to be successful. There needs to be balance. There needs to be perspective.
And so for all the people that think it's so cool to be working on 7 projects or to be in the matrix with their code, it's get over yourself.
Well, but that doesn't mean, and what I'm not saying is you can't have passion. You need to have passion. You need to live it. You need to own it. I get it. That's the beauty of it, right? I love programming. I'm passionate about it. Great. I'm not telling you not to be passionate. I'm just telling you what we just told you. Who are you? What happens if I took that away from you? You couldn't be a programmer. Who are you? You know? And again, you're so committed to something. How about being committed to the people that are going to be at your bedside when that awful thing happens to you and you're in the hospital? right? I know who is important to me because they're going to be the same people who were at my sister's bedside when she died of cancer, right? My sister had a million friends. And God bless them, they were all at the funeral where they're supposed to be, right? That's their job as friends. And, you know, they would come and visit, but at the bedside, day in and day out, I know who was there. Those are the people that are important, right? At that point, I think I was an FBI agent at the time. I can tell you what I wasn't doing. Talk about how important my cases were to my sister who was dying, right? That's balance. That's perspective. So if you think that, you know, your job defines you and you're all that, I mean, you know, that's kind of the story I tell. How about let's focus on the people who are going to be there when we need them, you know, when it really matters, when those awful things are happening, or who are going to be there for you. And what are those conversations going to look like? What's your commitment to them? It's a hard one, especially for young, aggressive people to wrap their arms around. But I don't think that they can even disagree with anything I'm saying right now. They just might say they're not there yet, which is okay. And again, this is just food for thought. This is, well, to be thinking.
There's also a fear that you're not going to do your best work unless you're obsessed and sort of in that creative process. But I think the case can be made that with balance, you can do better work. And so you have to understand, you have to see the balance side,
right,
to see that sort of stepping away can actually make you better when you go back.
And you're exactly right, especially, right? You keep saying, I know you're saying it as a joke, but not really, right? You're an artist, right? Programmers probably think of themselves as artists. And when does that big idea come to you? When you're obsessing over it, or when you finally walk away from it for a little while?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, yes!
How many people work 80-hour weeks and in the name of productivity, but they're not as productive as a 40-hour worker because each hour they're tired, they're exhausted,
right,
whatever.
Right. So that's, you know, that's kind of the moral aspect of self-assessment, right? Balance in everything you do. And then, you know, define who you are. And then take that away, right? I am a programmer. Okay, great. For whatever reason, you can't be a programmer anymore. Who are you? Right, I did training with the NBA referees. They are the same kind of lot, right? They are so committed to their craft. But again, when I said, well, who are you? You run down the court and you break your ankle in four different spots. You can't be an NBA referee anymore. Who are you? Excuse me. And it really resonated with these guys, you know, and they got it, you know, because it's a tough question, because people have such a hard time living outside of their work sometimes, where it should be the other way around. And like you said, when you do it the other way around, you'll be more productive. Those ideas, that they're always circulating in your head. If you're obsessed, they're always in your head somewhere. But you've got to leave them sometimes. Leave them alone. Let them work the subconscious. If you've always got them in the conscious, you're not going to find the answers, you know? And again, more importantly, think about that guy or girl you were chasing obsessively. How did that go? Probably not too good. Okay? Think about when you just stepped away for a minute. Okay? Just stepped away, put a little distance between it. You were probably a lot more attractive. Well, that's a metaphor for really all of that. Everything. That makes sense. I don't know. That's kind of, what does that have to do with coding? A lot, but nothing. It's the self-assessment. How do we become better? You know? How do we become better at anything we do? This goes for the leader. This goes for the person who's in charge. This goes for the first level computer programmer.
It's a pretty powerful step one, though.
It is. I mean, what do you think? Right? You're obsessed. You've got now years, right? You were that young programmer, and now you are the owner of your own company, you know, 20 years under your belt. Do you feel like you should be spending more time at work?
When I started my business, you know, there's this sort of crushing stress that comes along with putting expectations on yourself and sort of being on an island. And last winter, I was feeling it. I was starting to, like, it was sort of starting to affect my life. And so, you know, the inclination is to work harder, right? To obsess more. And I did exactly what you're saying. I started doing jiu-jitsu. I said, I'm going to stop working from 10 to 12 on Monday, I'm going to go exercise and do jiu-jitsu. And that brought balance to my day and to my week. And after a couple weeks, it changed everything.
Right.
Right. I found that I was working less, but I was more productive when I worked.
Yeah.
And I was able to sort of just have perspective about being present. This is an hour of family time. This is an hour of exercise. This is an hour of work. And my work weeks have decreased dramatically, the amount of time I work, but my flow, my productivity has increased dramatically. And it came by doing less technology, coding less, obsessing less, letting it go to the subconscious, and treating my body with more respect, my family with more respect,
right,
sort of trying to have more balance.
Right, it's good to be, it's good to go home and have that be a great place to go to, right? Because you can get away from your work a little bit. You can talk about your kid's day. You can talk, give your spouse something. He or she had a hard day too. Put your stuff aside. Listen to them, it'll just, I think it'll just make it better. And that's kind of the moral condition.
For more about what Errol is up to, you can check out his website at leader193.com. For more about what Zach's up to, you can check his out at salt.io. And you can follow what they're working on together at www.techonramp.com. See you guys next Tuesday.
Tell me what to do, and I gladly do my job, but I don't like your attitude. I don't like your attitude.